drash from Dr. Dave, right? And it's really a confirmation because he hits some of the same points that I'm going to be hitting. So it's a nice confirmation that it's the Lord moving to, and this is the Word. So here's my question. I'm going to start off with a couple of questions for us as well. And the questions I have for us today are, who are you going to believe? You're going to believe your eyes and the report of men, or are you going to believe Adonai and those who speak for Adonai? And what will you believe? Will you believe yourself and the beliefs of the world? Or are you going to believe Adonai and his promises that he's already made for us? My mic is on. Okay. I hear it through the speakers. You don't hear it through the speakers? So maybe turn me up just a little. Oh, the countryman. Turn the countryman up just in the house. Yeah, okay. All right. So who are you going to believe? That's the question for today. Dr. Dave brought that up a little bit. Who are you going to believe, right? I'm going to hit onto some of those same points as well. Because in today's Torah portion, we start out with this very same question that the Israelites had to answer for themselves at that time. They just got the report from the spies, right? We know the spies came back. They went out to the land for 40 days. They came back. They had the report. And they didn't just say the land was good. They said the land was great. It grew fruit like you wouldn't believe. The group of grapes that they had to carry it on a pole between two men. They brought pomegranates back. They brought all sorts of things back. The land was not just good. It was great. But then 10 out of the 12 other spies gave another report. And they said, Israel will never be able to take it. The people there are so strong. The people there are so big. We looked at them and we felt like grasshoppers. And in fact, we looked like grasshoppers to them. Now, they never asked them what they looked like. But they believe that they must think we're just grasshoppers compared to them. Well, after a night of thinking it over, what were they thinking about Moses and leadership? We see this in Numbers 14:10. And it says this, but the whole assembly talked about violently stoning them. Then the glory of Adonai appeared at the tent of meeting to all B'nai Israel. They were going to violently stone them. They weren't just going to throw pebbles at them, gently stone them. They were going to violently stone them. They could not even see the smallest chance of being able to take that land, even though Adonai himself said that's what was going to happen. Adonai was so angry that he told Moses to step aside. I'm going to bring a plague. And I'm just going to take them all out and start over. Did it with Noah, I can do it with you, Moses. Now look what it said again in verse 10. It said, then the glory of Adonai appeared. Now this gave Moses the opportunity, of course, to intercede for the Israelites. And he saves them from immediate death right there and then. But it left me with a question. Then Adonai appeared. Where was he before this? Then Adonai appeared. Wasn't he there the whole time before this? Listen to what Moses says a couple of verses later in Numbers 14:13. It says, Moses said to Adonai, the Egyptians will hear about it because you brought up this people by your power from among them. They will tell the residents of this land about it. Already they have heard that you, Adonai, are in the midst of the people, that you, Adonai, have been seen eye to eye, that your cloud remains over them, and that a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, you go before them. Moses tells us in his words, Adonai was always with them. He was there by the cloud and by the pillar of fire. Always there with them. So which is true? Was Adonai absent and just showed up just, you know, at the times that they need him? Or was he always with them? Because I can read over and over in Scripture again and again, Adonai is not a sometimes God. He doesn't just pop in and pop out. That's not who Adonai is. So which is it? Scripture can't have it both ways. So I have to look and see how can both of these things be true. They didn't see him. He's always there. How can it be both ways? And we have to look and expect exactly what it says. And its scripture says, it does not say, excuse me, it doesn't say, then Adonai arrived onto the scene. It says he appeared to them. That means that in their grumbling state, they were unable to see him. It wasn't that he was there. They were just unable to see them. They were unable to recognize that Adonai was still in their midst. How they missed a pillar of fire or a cloud, I don't know. But I do know a little bit it was by their grumbling that took their eyes off of Adonai. It was by their grumbling that they lost sight. They did not have the faith in Adonai to understand what was going on right before their own lying eyes. It was a lack of faith that blinded them. So let's just hear a little a reminder of what faith is. Hebrews 11:1. It's a short sentence, but it tells us exactly what faith is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of realities not seen. Sometimes we cannot see the things hoped for or the things of faith, but only what appears as realities of the physical world because the things hoped for haven't actually happened yet. But sometimes the things that can be seen from us are going on all the time. And sometimes the things that we can't see are still going on in the spiritual world. But we don't see those things because of a lack of faith. Sometimes it's a combination that we don't see it because it hasn't happened yet, and we don't see it because of a lack of faith. Because there are times Adonai calls us to see that which hasn't happened yet. To see in faith that he's going to do it. The constraints of the lack of faith causes us to miss what's actually there and gives us an inability to see the spiritual battles that are going on and the promises that Adonai is making to us that we have to know are true and real. They couldn't see because their own lying eyes lacked faith to see what was going on, to see the promises. That sometimes we need to adjust our spiritual eyes, so that we can see, so that our eyes don't lie to us. The act of being anxious and worried will not only bring about nothing that's good, but will cloud your mind and cloud your eyes, blind your eyes. Not just to the physical things, but also to the spiritual things that are going on around us. Think of those who came against Moses, whether it be the people grumbling in this portion or Miriam, Aaron. They were worried, they were anxious, and it led to actions that were not only counterproductive, but turned out to be harmful to them. They did not trust Adonai, but instead took a look at the situation with their physical eyes and then made decisions based on what they thought they knew and understood. But that's not the way Proverbs tells us to look at things. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in Adonai with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. If the people had gone to prayer first, seeking out the will of Adonai instead of grumbling, before taking action, they would have been led on a straight path that Adonai had wanted them to be on. They wouldn't have taken the same actions they took. They wouldn't have caused the pains and the delays of getting into the promised land, not just for themselves, but those who followed after them. They wouldn't have caused themselves or others to go against Adonai by rebelling against Moses. And of course, rebelling against Moses is the same as rebelling against Adonai. Yeshua tells us to have faith in Adonai, and what we pray for shall be. If it's something you fear or you have anxiety over, then it's the act of asking, seeking, and knocking. When done in faith and understanding who he is, that will bring about the answer to our prayers. The author of Hebrews gives us an example of the difference between people who have faith and people who don't. Hebrews 4:2. For we also have had good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the word they heard did not help them because they were not unified with those who listened in faith. He says there are two groups of people. Two groups of people who had the good news proclaimed to them. Those that had faith and those who did not listen in faith. Those who did not hear in faith had the good news meant nothing to them. Had no power, had no authority, had no salvation for them. But the good news did nothing for them because of their lack of faith. We must be the ones to have faith and trust in order to be able to place our troubles upon him. We must have that faith before giving him our troubles that we have. Would you really give those things that you have that are of your greatest concerns to anyone you don't have full faith in? Full trust and confidence? When we see people take on tasks by themselves, whether it's in the scriptures or in our lives today, it's most likely, you know, if they're taking it on themselves, it's most likely because they don't have faith in someone that they could be delegating it to. And they end up doing it themselves because in their hearts and in their minds, they're thinking, the person I should be giving this to is just not able to do it, so it's better that I do it myself. Now, can you imagine someone saying, I'll do it myself because I can't trust Adonai? Or saying, I'll do it myself because I can do it better than he can. Oh, no, just wow. Let's not go there. Therefore, we must take the words of Scripture about trusting him and more than just place them in our mind, more than just put them in the corner without power because we don't believe in them, but we must empower them by our faith, by our belief, not just in the Scriptures, but in the one who gave us the Scriptures. Each week as we put away the Torah scroll, we say the Zohar HaTorah, right? It says, and this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. The words that we read, whether from the Torah, the prophets, the poetic writings, the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, are from Adonai. And they are to be trusted and faithfully followed, because the one who gave them to us is faithful to us and always will be. Lack of faith is really just a disease. It's the disease not being of the body, but of your spirit. That's what a lack of faith is. Because it is the power of faith that will heal this disease. Now, I know it sounds like a circular logic in there, right? The way to heal the disease of lack of faith is to get more faith. You know, it's kind of like saying the way to stop a drought is to get more water. Yeah, but in this case, it's true. We need to build up our faith in order to banish from within us a lack of faith. Because when we do have faith, then great power is within us. Look what Yeshua told his Talmudim in Matthew 11. Starting in verse 20 of Matthew 11. As they were passing by in the morning, they saw a tree shriveled from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Yeshua, Rabbi, look, the tree you cursed has shriveled up. And Yeshua answered, saying to them, have faith in God. Amen, I tell you, if someone says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but trusts what he says is happening, so shall it be for him. The word given by Yeshua sounds a bit specific, huh? Have faith in God. Have faith in Adonai. He ascribes the power that it takes to have a mountain thrown into the sea or to shrivel a tree to the faith that you have. Now, I'm not one who says, you know, you just need to name it and claim it. Have faith and it's going to happen. I am not there. And I am not there to say you have power to do anything you want. But I am here to say if we're aligned with Adonai, and that does not mean take a stand and wait for Adonai to align himself with us. It means that we align ourselves with Adonai. Then we will have power to do things through the Ruach HaKodesh, that maybe even you didn't think you were able to. We see that the tree was shriveled up. But who did it? The Talmudim was with Yeshua, and they didn't see him do it. So it had to be the Ruach who did it. Because it was Yeshua who released the power of the Ruach by his faith. Another example of faith releasing power is found in Mark 5, where we read about the woman with the issue of blood. Look what happened in the telling of her healing, starting in Mark 5:27. I'm going to read a bunch of verses starting there. When she heard about Yeshua, she came through the crowd from behind, and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if I touch even his clothes, I shall be healed. Right away the blood flow stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed from her disease. At once Yeshua, knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? The disciples responded, you see the crowd pressing upon you, and you say, who touched me? But he kept looking around to see who had done this. But the woman, scared and shaking, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in shalom and be healed from your disease. Yeshua knew how it went down from him, but apparently he didn't know who it went to. It was her faith. It was her faith when she touched the hem that healed her. It was the Ruach, who is part of Yeshua, that healed. He was released. His power was released because of the faith that she had in Yeshua, in Adonai. Yeshua says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Now, I want to make it clear that a lack of healing does not equal a lack of faith. There are times that the healing just isn't going to come based on your faith. It could be he's still teaching you something. It could be he's teaching someone who's watching you. It could just be the will of Adonai that you go through this. Think of Shaul, Paul's eyesight. He asked more than once, twice, three times, to take this thorn from his side. And Yeshua says, no. It wasn't because of his lack of faith. It just was the plan. Do we know what the plan was? Maybe it was a piece of testimony that he had. Look, I have some horrible eyesight, but look what Adonai is doing through me and my spiritual eyes. So therefore, you can have the same spiritual eyes. Maybe it was part of his testimony, and that's why Adonai did not want him healed. We don't know this for sure, but we know it was not because of a lack of faith that he was not healed. Now, Adonai calls us to be courageous and strong in our faith, just as we see in Joshua, part of the Haftorah portion this week. Now, listen to the words of Adonai. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Joshua 1, starting in verse 2. My servant Moses is dead. So now arise, you and all these people, cross over the Jordan to the land that I am giving to them, to B'nai Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I am giving to you, as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Shazach! You know I like that word. Shazach! Be strong! For you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be very strong and resolute to observe diligently the Torah which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, so you may be successful wherever you go. Excuse me one second. Now, a whole lot of people think when Adonai says in verses 5 and 6, no one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as it is written with Moses, So I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Shazak, be strong, for you will lead the people to inherit the land I swore to the fathers to give them. Very many people believe he was speaking solely to Joshua. But I don't think so. It was to the people of Israel and to all his people today, including to us today, that he was speaking. Just as the promise of the land was always to Israel. When he says that he spoke it to Moses about gaining the land, it was always Israel that was going to gain the land. Even if it was spoken to Moses, he was speaking it to Moses, through Moses, to all of Israel, who was going to gain the land. And the evidence of that is that Moses never got into the promised land. He was promised the promised land, or so people say, but he didn't get in. Because the promise was to the people. Again in verse 5, I will be with you. Still talking about the Israelites as a nation. Again in verse 5, I will be with you. I just read that. Still talking about the nation. Therefore, verse 6 is also towards the nation, that he will lead them into the promised land, which happens through Joshua, who is included in the call to be strong and courageous. We are called to be strong and courageous in him. Shazak! Be courageous. Be strong in the Lord. That's our call. It may sound like it's going to Joshua, but it's going to you and me just as surely as it was going to the whole Israelite nation. Now I've read, this is kind of cool, I've read, courage holds the energy of fear under control and channels it towards a positive end. Courage holds the energy of fear under control and channels it towards a positive end. Courage to remain faithful empowers the Ruach HaKodesh to act on our behalf. It channels the positive energy of the Ruach HaKodesh. But the act of developing the courage and faith that it takes, the faith that it takes that is required for us as believers, takes some time. When the Talmudim were with Yeshua on the lake and the storm came up, and Yeshua was asleep, they woke him up. And look what he says. The Yeshua then says in Luke 8:25, where is your faith? But they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who then is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. Now, I do believe this happened early at the beginning of Yeshua's ministry, but not at the very start when he was still picking out his Talmudim, his disciples, but late enough that they should have had some faith by then. But even as they were with him, they were still struggling with their faith. And that was not the end of their struggles. Later in Luke, we hear Yeshua say to them while he was teaching them one time, this, during the teaching, they didn't feel like they were able to, they had the abilities to follow along. Saying something they just couldn't grab hold on to. Weren't able to follow fully. So they had this exchange in Luke 17 in verse 5. So the emissaries, the disciples, the Talmudim, said to the Lord, Yeshua, increase our faith. Then the Lord said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Boy, it's easy to say, increase your faith, isn't it? Just, hey, increase your faith. Everything will be fine. Increase your faith. But it's a process we go through. Very few just wake up and say, hey, look, I got faith to do everything today. I have so much faith, I can tell a tree to jump into the lake, and it's going to. Well, if you woke up this morning and you didn't quite have that kind of faith, no, you're in good company. But you still have time to develop your faith. Don't get down on yourself if you struggle with this issue of faith. It's okay. But it's time to press in. It's time to read Scripture. It's time to fellowship with others who have some faith. No, they don't have enough faith to have a tree jump. But they have some faith. And being around people with faith helps to increase your faith. Pray. Talk to Adonai one-on-one. It'll help build up your faith. To do these things, we need to do basically two things. There's two things. I mean, there's always, you know, there's the first thing, well, you know, trust and not deny. Then there's two things. And then from there are trees down, and you can say, you know, you can have a whole teaching of faith. But I'm going to say, basically, there are two things to do. If you're going to start here. Take your eyes off the world. And then second, place them on the one who grants us faith. And we can accomplish both of these things simply by reading His Word. Reading the Scriptures not only reminds us what Adonai has done and will do, but also in reading, they can help to distract us from our troubles, from the world. Help us to take our eyes off the world and put them back on Him. It gives us a period of rest from our worries, from our anxiety. It gives us some time away from our own thoughts onto the thoughts that He has. We all at times have struggled with thoughts in our minds, right? Look what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 94, starting in verse 18. If I say, my foot has slipped, your mercy, Adonai, will hold me up. When my troubling thoughts multiply within me, your consolations comfort my soul. He says that there are many times that troubling thoughts multiply within Him. Not just that they're there, they're multiplying, they're taking over. But by being in His Word, we can be comforted. We can reduce those thoughts. We can reduce those thoughts about our troubles. Take our minds off it at least for a little bit. Now, this is not a call just to forget everything, forget your troubles. This is a call to prioritize your thoughts. Take captive your thoughts and prioritize them, putting Adonai above all of them. Seek first the kingdom of God and don't worry. We need to put things into the proper order. Once we are right with Adonai, Adonai can then put things right for us. And we're going to have to help, of course. You can't just sit back and say, I'll deny. I need a car. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Eventually, you're going to have to go out, earn some money, and buy a car. You may pray. Maybe someone will donate one to you. But most of the time, you're going to have to go out and do something. But he's going to lead you into what's the right thing to do. That's what we're looking for when we go to Adonai. This is what we're told by Yeshua himself in Matthew 6:33, starting there. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What are the things that are going to be added? It's not just righteousness of Adonai. It is, but it's not just righteousness of Adonai. But it's the comfort and the abilities of the Ruach HaKodesh. It's the power of the Ruach HaKodesh that will be added to us. It will help us through the troubles of our days. Even for those times that we don't think, but we know that the troubles have overtaken us, we're to call on his name. Psalm 119:142. Your justice is righteousness forever, and your Torah is truth. Trouble and anguish has overtaken me, yet your mitzvot are my delight. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Make me understand so that I may live. The instructions of Adonai should be our delight. Even in times where the world pulls at our attention, even at times they seem like they're just crashing over us, turn to him. When we can divert our attentions from the world to his word, then we can be thankful for all he's done. And we can let go of those troubles and let Adonai take care of them. I'm sure he's going to use our hands to take care of them most of the time, but they're still going to be his troubles, his taking care of them. Then we can truly rejoice in Adonai. Philippians 4:4, starting there. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, not just rejoice during the good times, rejoice always. Let your gentleness be known to all people. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the shalom of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Messiah Yeshua. The peace of shalom of Adonai is near. And we need to be thankful, first of all, for that. The troubles of the world that appear to be on our shoulders, that are before our eyes so that we cannot actually see past them, that's the time to press in even harder to Adonai. Then we're to ask for his help. And to ask with shalom of knowing who he is and of his love that he has towards us. Final scripture, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also get rid of every weight and entangling sin. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, focusing on Yeshua, the initiator and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, for he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne. It says, get rid of every weight or every trouble that's weighing us down. And every entangling sin that may have come from the trouble and wrong thoughts that we have about them. Because, you know, if you're entangled in these troubles and you're weighed down by these troubles, your mind is racing. And I'll guarantee a racing mind is a sinning mind. You need to slow yourself down and get rid of these entangling sins. We're to focus on Yeshua, who is the initiator, or as other versions say, author, or the source, or even the one who birthed faith in us. He is our faith, just as we have faith in Him. He is the initiator of it. He's the source of it. He's the one who births it into us. This is how we are to see things. This is how we are not to miss out on what's happening around us in the spiritual world. This is how we are to look past the realities of the visible world around us, so that we can live and believe and have faith in the actions of Adonai and have faith in the spiritual world that's around us. Because that spiritual world is always around us. Adonai and the Ruach HaKodesh are always working for us. We need to have those eyes, the spiritual eyes, that are not bound by a lack of faith, so that we can see. Because that lack of faith will keep you from seeing. It'll keep you from seeing the spiritual 100% of the time. And it'll keep you from seeing even the physical at least 50% of the time. If you're stuck rumbling here and your situation has an answer here, but you're grumbling over here, you're never going to see this. Your attention is here, you're never going to see there. Step back. As hard as it is, step back. As hard as it is, press into Adonai. As hard as it is, lift your hand and let the Ruach take things out of your hand. Place them before the foot of the throne and don't pick them up again. Amen. So many people want to put them down and then pick them up. Well, thanks for listening, Lord. I'm going to take my stuff now. Leave it there. Let the peace and the shalom of Adonai wash over you and leave them. But what do? He's going to direct you by the Ruach HaKodesh. Amen. Father, we thank you that we can trust in faith that you are the one in control of everything. We can trust and have faith that even when we're entangled in trouble, if we lift our eyes to you and you alone, put our eyes on Scripture, read them, because they're written on our hearts, even. That when we do this, our eyes will be cleared. Our minds will be cleared. We'll be able to see the physical and the spiritual world as it interacts each other and with us. Ruach, we just ask for the abilities to put those things aside that are entangling us. Put those things aside that would have us stuck grumbling about the things that are going on, so that we may enter into your presence with empty hands and an open heart. We thank you, Ruach HaKodesh, that we can trust in you to do this. We praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. That's the